From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The very words of God.
Dear congregation, I'm going to give you a little bit of background why I am doing this message. Before the prayer conference in April, I was studying the prayers of the Bible, and as I met Pastor Jacob in the parking lot that morning, I mentioned that Jonah must have been really filthy when the fish spit him out, and he said, "Yeah, it was a messy situation," and then he also said that he was doing a series on Jonah. And maybe I could take chapter 2 because it might be a little difficult. It's not that he couldn't do it, but he kind of challenged me to do it. So, yeah. So then I went home that afternoon, that evening, and I read the prayer over and reread it and then read some commentaries. And yes, there is a message in all of us, for all of us in this prayer. So let's discover the reason why this prayer is included in the Bible. There is a little bit of background. Chapter 1 was done last Sunday. So Jonah was fleeing from God's instruction to preach to the Ninevites. And we read that a storm, he was fleeing on a boat, and a storm came up. And it was so violent that the sailors feared for their lives. And after casting lots, we find out who caused the storm, and Jonah was the culprit. When he was chosen as the one who caused the storm, he realized that God was in this situation, so he requested to be thrown into the sea. He knew that he was running away, so he told them, the sailors, that the only way that the sea could be calmed was for him to be thrown into the sea. So as he was sinking, he was in deep water, deep distress. Are there times when we deliberately put God out of our lives? Times when we think that we have control of our daily living? And sports, game nights, or TV programs keep us from doing the Lord's work. We want to go our own way. Besides, the city of Nineveh deserved to be punished, and their enemies of the Jews. How often do we condemn people of a certain lifestyle? No way are we going to invite the drunkard for a meal. We go to the other side of the road to avoid contact before we give them a chance to know about God's mercy and grace. We have to remember that all people are created in God's image, and we need to love and care for each one. I don't know if and when we will get thrown overboard to calm the seas, and then desperately we need God. Jonah found himself in this position, but he still had faith, faith in God. As he was sinking deeper and deeper with seaweed around his neck, he called on God and ended up in the belly of a huge fish. He was swallowed whole. Now, you think, oh, that's the end of Jonah. He's dead. But remember, God is in control. We may at times find ourselves in such deep water that there seems to be no way out. And then God comes to the rescue. Only if we have faith to let God work miracles. When our actions deserve the wrath of God, and then God hears our confession and distressful prayer, he has amazing grace. Jonah deliberately went the opposite way that God told him to go. Did he deserve grace? What about us? Do we deliberately, when we go our own way, are we selfish with our time and our talents and our resources? Do we deserve God's grace? The grace God gives is for all, and it was paid for by Jesus, by a sacrifice for all our sins, by dying on the cross. We have salvation through God's grace. And there is this song that goes, grace, grace, that is greater than all our sin. Yes, along with Jonah, we are to be thankful for God's grace. Jonah prayed while in the belly of a fish. But we can talk to God anytime and anywhere, as the children told us. No place is off limits. Jesus often went up to the mountain to pray, and even in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Peter was in prison, his fellow disciples prayed behind a locked door. God will hear us, just as he heard Jonah from the belly of the fish. And when Sherry read Jonah's prayer, you may have said to yourself, I've heard some of these lines before. And right you are. Jonah was a learned prophet, and he knew the Psalms. He used lines from the Psalms at least 9 times during his prayer. He used scripture in his distress prayer. We are taught the Lord's Prayer. But how often do we use the other parts of scripture in our daily prayer time? When we pray the Bible, it keeps us in focus as God is at the receiving end. We can learn from Jonah to use scripture in our private and corporate prayers. Psalm 118, verse 5. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. David and Jonah both had death experiences. How many times in our lives that we were say that we were near death and that a guardian angel was looking out for us? We need to pray and acknowledge that God is in control. Throughout the verses of this prayer, Jonah acknowledges God as a God of power, a just God, a God of grace. Verse 8 reads, those who cling to worldly idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. This refers back to the sailors who cried out to their idol gods, idols who could do nothing. This is a warning that idols of gold or stone or wood cannot afford the grace of the true God. This acknowledgement of the true God gives Jonah hope, and he's ready to give thanks. He's in the belly of the fish, and he gives thanks. When you're in distress, are you ready to give thanks? Jonah could do this because he knows his prayer is heard. God already provided the fish, and he's not being digested, so Jonah already experiences God's grace. Even though we are sinful and life seems so dark, We can experience forgiveness and be filled with joy, filled with so much joy that we need to give thanks to our loving God and Savior. Jonah's confession and ours is that salvation comes from the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. We are saved from eternal death only by the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And this gives us hope and joy. And now we come to the final verse. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Have you ever been sick? I mean, really, really sick that you had to throw up? It is a messy situation. And I'm reminded of a song that I learned in the cadet camp years ago. I don't know if they still do this, but anyway, we were taught a song that goes along the tune of "My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean." And it goes like this. Come up, come up, come up, my supper, come up. I don't want to dirty the ocean. Will somebody please give me a pail? The fish must have had a tummy ache, for Jonah was indigestible. How often do we have stomach aches and we don't know what to do and we need to throw up? Quite often, young children, when they have stomach aches, they feel sick and they throw up, and the next minute they're playing like everything is normal. What a huge relief to the fish when God caused them to throw Jonah up, not at the ocean, but on dry ground. The Bible does not give us the details, but vomit is vomit, and Jonah must have had slime all over him. He was still a sinful man. Now, you may wonder, what kind of message are we to learn from this verse? Many of them have been sick, maybe a 24-hour flu or a 3-day bed rest, thinking that we might die. But after throwing up, we have been given a second chance at life. We need to get rid of everything that hinders us from serving our Lord. We are given many second chances to obey God's command to make disciples of all nations. Our God is a patient God, and He often gives us second and third chances to serve, even when we're drowning in our selfishness. Can we say with Jonah, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." In conclusion, I'm going to ask a few questions. Like I asked Connor, have you ever run away from God? Have you found yourself in great deep distress? Did you then remember who is your God? Did you confess and say that salvation comes from our Lord? Yes, we can put ourselves in some messy situations, but our God will keep us from drowning in sin and put us on dry ground, ready to serve. Let us thank God for all the second chances He gives us to preach to the Ninevites and to the lost. And all those who are rescued say, amen, amen. Now we'll have our song of response.